Let me introduce you to these fellows, to the Moe. One name is Addy, the other is Moe. Addy's a dick and Moe's just fat. Remember that, please, fellows, to the Moe. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Moe's just fat. Addy's a dick and Moe's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
Hey, yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Okay, I'm Mo.
Hi, Mo.
You're very happy.
I am. You know, we're on a website called WeTalkWrestling.com.
It's a good site.
We're also on another website called WeTalkPodcasts.com.
Yeah, a sister site. Good site, too.
Yeah, a lot of sissies on there. But it's very appropriate today because we are going to talk almost exclusively about some podcasts.
So, yeah, it's true. We call podcasts and we're going to talk a lot of podcasts. And, you know, when we started this show, we called ourselves We Talk Wrestling. And I thought we'd be talking about, you know, like promos and matches and storylines and things we wanted to see. And instead, it's become a show where we talk about networks and finances and television deals and podcasts now and behind-the-scenes stuff. And in some way, I don't mind that because, let's face it, it keeps it from getting boring.
That's true.
But it's certainly not what I had originally pictured the show being.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know.
It's audio podcast, so there's no pictures.
Well, there's always a show picture.
That's true.
Which we already have picked.
Yeah.
It's gonna, unless you say something genius that will top that.
I will. I will.
But, yeah, I mean, we just thought, hey, we should record a show because, yeah, we're geniuses, and it turns out we're not, but we thought, hey, we're geniuses, so...
Well, I am.
So we should record a podcast for years, and here it is, folks. We're going to talk about
everything... Podcasts!
Yeah, we're going to talk about everything except for what happened in the ring, likely. I mean, we might talk a little bit about that, too.
Where the wrestlers are?
The sports entertainers.
The wrestlers.
That's what Vince's dad did.
20 by 20.
All right. So anyways, where do you want to start with this?
Let's start with the CM Punk. Because CM Punk was on Colt Cabana's podcast.
Colt Cabana's podcast called The Art of Wrestling.
They were recording it about the same time as we were recording our show. So, of course, we
talked about everything but that.
Yes, because it hadn't happened yet. But it turns out... CM Punk, not a fan of World Wrestling Entertainment.
No, so CM Punk and I have a lot in common.
Yes.
At this point, I'm assuming everybody who's listened to this has listened to it. Because, I mean, it had, like, a crazy amount of listens.
Oh, yeah, crap. It broke the internet.
Yeah, it really did, yeah. You know, much more than Kim Kardashian's ass.
And I believe it was, let's call it a two-hour podcast?
Let's call it 2 hours, yeah.
Okay, it was a two-hour podcast. And you want to know what happened on the two-hour podcast?
What?
CM Punk wants to main event WrestleMania.
He really does. He really, really did.
That was my takeaway.
Yeah, he really did.
Just let me fucking main event WrestleMania and I will go away.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is why CM Punk will be back to main event WrestleMania. Not this year. But CM Punk will be back to main event WrestleMania. This is the power of Vince McMahon, and this is my takeaway from away from the podcast, actually, from CM Punk's therapy session with Colt Cabana. Understanding
Dr. Shelby,
yeah. Understanding Vince McMahon a little more. And it really when it comes to Punk is to why, you know, will he be back? And it's always, does Vince have something to offer him? And it's always been the case. Brett wanted to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Right? You know,
Warrior wanted an apology.
Warrior wanted an apology. Bruno wanted to move on with his life. and all of these things Vince McMahon can offer.
Yeah.
And CM Punk will still be able to headline a WrestleMania, you know, against Steve Austin, let's say, one, you know, in the future. And that's, and that will bring him back. Not forever, but that will bring him back.
For one match, for the...
Well, to the gateway drug that'll bring him back, yeah, for appearances.
You know what? You have a good point there. I'm not 100% sure, because I think the difference is, like, it depends on whether or not he's able to, listening to this show, as we go back to the show, you're right, he talks about wanting to main event WrestleMania often. Like, it's just, that's all, it's like, just let me main event WrestleMania. I'm gonna politic to main event WrestleMania. Yeah. I'm gonna do what's best for me, not what's best for the company, because I want to main event WrestleMania.
Yes.
You know?
Which was true, because, I mean, he wanted to do a three-way with Rock and Cena, and I'm like, no. That's bad.
Yeah, no, and he, but he wanted to do it because it was best for him.
Yes.
You know, and he has a lot of, like, it was an interesting, it should be a required listening for anybody who's listening to this show, or anybody who listens to wrestling podcasts in general.
Yeah.
Like, it's
well, no, just listen to us recap it. Really. if you're gonna spend 2 hours of your life, you might as well spend it.
Well, we're not gonna recap the whole thing, obviously.
No. Just the main points, which we did.
we're done. We're moving on from Punk. Yeah. No, I mean,
he did have insight into how, we talk about it all the time, how grossly incompetently this publicly traded company is actually run to their core business of being in the ring and the creative around it, and then it kind of expands, as Punk did, into their movie business. Yeah. You know, where he tells the story,
it's about highly flawed company. Nobody's denying that.
Hunter wants Punk to be in this movie, and because CM Punk the whole time is acting like Nicolas Cage and going, "How am I not in a movie?" I mean, he knew they sucked, but he wanted just to get a credit so he could go on and do something else. But the fact was, is Hunter goes, "I want you to be in this movie, 12 Rounds 2. And
I was in a movie.
And he goes, like, that's...
Bagwell was in a movie.
That's the European tour. And he's like, no, it's not. He's like, yes, it's a fucking European tour. No. And so it turns out it's the fucking European tour. So then he goes online and finds out that Randy Orton is starring in the 12 Round Part 2. And nobody told him.
Yeah.
So they offered him the movie. He's like, you fucking idiot. And they're like, no, you're wrong, Punk. And then he wakes up the next morning to find out that Randy Orton is starring in the movie.
Because it was the European tour and they wanted the champion.
It's a horribly mismanaged
but
company.
It's also, see, I disagree on that one. I think that was Hunter on purpose offering him the movie to appease him because he wasn't getting any movies, knowing that they were never going to offer it to him. I think that was just, I think he knew right from the beginning he was doing it just to fuck with Punk, or just to say, oh, we are this close, and the timing didn't work out. And I don't think it had anything to do with incompetence. I think he knew it as that. I think that was actually a very cold and calculated thing. Let's get back, though, to the whole thing.
That's incompetent, though, to do something like that.
Well,
on
it
purpose,
is. But
incompetent.
But it made it sound like he
there's
didn't
ignorance
know.
And there's incompetence. Incompetence is actually when you do it on purpose.
Yeah, it made it sound, maybe some people came across, like Hunter was doing this to be good, and he had no idea when this tour started, which would be completely incompetent and not true. But that, he knew, like I say, it was the other thing. I think it's more because he doesn't like Punk. It's more because it's more pettiness. It's more just to get him off their back. Oh, we are offering you a movie. Oh, we really wanted you to do it, man. It sucks that it was during the European tour. I mean, what can we do? You know, but whatever. But let's get back to, like I say, the main event thing, because you talk about how he will be back. You have, like I say, you have a good point there. But the thing is, and CM Punk said he considers his entire wrestling career a failure. He said this during the podcast. It's very revealing. Like, CM Punk is a guy who is like, he's fascinating. Because he, during this podcast, manages to come across like a completely selfish and egotistical person.
Right.
While also coming across as completely neurotic.
Mm-hmm.
While also coming across as giving. Somehow, you know, mm-hmm. You know, like, like there's and yeah, I mean, he's a very interesting guy.
I thought he came across human because there's times in your life where you do need to be selfish, and times where you do need to be giving, and times where you are neurotic, and that's kind of the conversation. And he was talking to a friend of his. I mean, he talked about how he wasn't going
to
go on.
And that friend even said to him, "Hey, sometimes you can be an asshole."
Yeah, and he loves it, but he understands how people can think. You know, could, you know, maybe a writer thinks, well, fuck him, I'm not going to write for him, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, the other problem he had was some of the medical stuff, and I think that kind of comes across a little
like
bit.
Like I say, because he considers his entire career a failure,
yes.
You're right, he could come back, because if that eats at him, mm-hmm. if that's really there, and he will never go away until he made events at WrestleMania. But on the other hand, if he's where he appeared to be, where he went, you know what, I'm not going to let myself be defined by just my years in wrestling. That's a small part of my life.
Right.
I'm going to go on. I'm going to do other things in my life, like take somebody else's spot without earning it and write comics.
Yeah.
Hypocritical. Yeah. But I'm not going to let myself be defined by just my wrestling. And so if that's what he is able to do, if he is able then to put it in the past, like that was a failure, I'm going to make something else a success, then... You know, then he will be fine. Then he won't have to go back. I'm not sure. Do I think he'll be back? Yeah, I think it'll be more. I think it's less likely to wrestle a match. I think it's more likely in 15, 20, 30 years, a Hall of Fame appearance. You know?
I don't think quite that long. But...
Well, I don't know. It could be a long time, is the point. It could be 20 years. I could see it be 20 years, for sure.
Mm.
I mean, it was almost 20 years for Warrior.
It's true.
It was 18 years, right? How many years was it for Brett? It was a lot of years for that too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 18 years for Brett.
Yeah.
97, right, is when he left. 2005 is when he went in.
So that's 8 years.
That's what I said.
You said 18.
Yeah.
But the point being that he, you're right, it's possible, but I think that could
18
be.
18 years. But, I think that. Ryback hurts him lots. He needs a lot of surgery. He's hurt and he's off the road. I mean, it really wasn't. I mean, a lot of it was stuff we've been talking about. It was out of his mouth.
Ryback's the only guy who really responded to what he said, because, I mean, he signaled out, you know, Ryback for his unprofessionalism and sloppiness in the ring. It's kind of funny because, again, one of the things that I remember when he was working with Ryback and Paul Heyman was that Dave Meltzer at the time was saying, well, you know, they're pals, so they had to come up with this finish, this non-finish themselves, because they get along, they rode together.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I remember Meltzer saying that they drive together and stuff like that, and they've been pals for a long time, and they're good friends.
Yeah.
And then you hear this, I don't think they're good friends.
I don't think so. I mean,
so maybe everything you hear
about,
from even the most respected journalists in the business or anybody else writing these dirt sheets, maybe everything you hear is not correct.
Not everything you hear, no. I mean, you look at even the Nexus thing, you know, and you poke him in the eye, and Gallows is starting to beat the shit out of him, and Ryback's going, Ryan Reeves or whatever is going, we're supposed to be winning.
Yeah.
Skip Sheffield at the time.
Yes, that's right.
But,
Ryback.
But I think that there was lots of stuff. I mean, he talked about the Shield.
Yeah, he said he came up with the idea for the Shield.
Yeah,
and then
he wanted to
took it another direction.
He wanted an NXT stable, basically, of new guys
to feud with,
to team with, and then feud off of.
Yeah,
from there,
so that way he would have matches set up for fresh opponents for the long term. He was always thinking long term. What's your plan for me? And that's when he was frustrated with the booking. That was his frustration with the booking. I mean, a lot of people, the people in the WWE. A lot of people agree with most of what he said, but one of the things that people don't agree with, most people don't agree with the Rock thing. Most people don't agree with him signaling out Ryback, because they just think that's unprofessional, the way he did it, and not everyone buys everything he said, like Ryback kicking him in the ribs. Not everybody buys that Ryback kicked him in the ribs and broke his ribs on purpose, you know, that type of thing. I do like the idea of him walking up to Ryback, saying, when he missed him on the table, press slamming him, saying, does that... You have to tell me, you've done this so many times now. Is it, are you
hurting me on purpose?
Or are you just dumb as fuck?
Dumb as fuck, sir.
And Rebecca's, I'm dumb as fuck.
Yeah.
And I could just picture that.
I can. And you know, he was convincing when he said that, too.
Yeah. But Ryback said that incident never happened. I mean, Ryback is, you know, he tweeted out a picture of a bunch of him standing over Punk on a follow table with, it was action figures, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, most people have not, most people haven't responded. A lot of people are pissed off about it, but even people that agree with what he said are pissed off about how he's done it. It's interesting. Because, I mean, everything he says seems to me like a lawsuit. But there's other things that there that WWE doesn't seem to want to fight this guy.
No, and I mean, even Vince, I mean, we can, I don't know if there's anything else that we need to say on the Punk
there's
podcast.
There's a few things. I wonder.
He wanted his shield to be Chris Hero.
Chris Hero.
Cassius Ohno.
They wanted, of course, Roman Reigns in there.
And then, yeah, of course, they put in Roman Reigns. But we talked about that, actually. Well, Punk says that the Shield was his idea. It was actually our idea, if you remember, after the quote-unquote pipe bomb, which is the term that he now says he hates.
Yeah.
And we said, like, who do you pair with Punk? And we're talking, like, should we give Punk a group? And we talk about, okay, you hire Gallows back, and then you add Cesaro and Chris Hero to the group. But you could even put a Tyler Black, who's down there, in there, and there's your group.
Certainly, when you look at the way they debuted by, you know, fucking over Ryback for him.
Yeah.
It comes across like it was his idea, or was meant to always be.
Well, even at the beginning, it was like, are they with Punk, are they not with Punk? And then it just totally, all of a sudden, it totally went in a different direction.
Yeah.
Weird plans changed.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Because they don't have any long-term booking.
But, you know, one of the things I was always very... one of the things that for me, came out of this was I was very critical of Punk for how he left.
Yeah.
Like, finish off your contract or at least give 2 weeks. You don't just walk out like that. He said one thing that changed my mind about that and to the point where I went, yeah, he did nothing wrong. He totally should have left where he left and he did nothing wrong. And that's when he said... he did say that a lot.
Yeah.
But no, he said, I'm an independent contractor. I can do what I want.
Yeah.
And I went, good point. Like you're the independent contractor thing. He brought it up at a couple of, at one point, he said something about how they don't want him going to court and wrecking that basically that they don't want him going to court and just destroying that because they use that to protect themselves and to not have to protect the talent. And you know what I mean? And he took a lot of subtle jabs, like he said.
He flat out said it, that WWE does all these things to protect itself and does very little of anything to protect the boys.
Very little of anything. Yeah, the concussion thing is to protect themselves, not to protect the boys.
Right.
He mentioned he can go to Starbucks because he has enough money that he can work there from now on, and they might even give him health insurance.
Yes, that was awesome.
It was a great line, you know. But it is, it's true that as soon as he said it, I'm an independent contractor, like he took something that they used to protect themselves and he turned it on them.
Yeah.
And I thought, good for you, man. Because you know what? Fuck them. And that whole thing. Like he talked about, he subtly kind of referenced a union. And again, we say it'll never happen because in order to have a union, a guy making over $1 million a year like Randy Orton would have to give a shit about a guy making $75,000 a year like Titus O'Neil.
And
that'll never happen.
Honestly, and Randy Orton would have to give a shit about really anything.
Good point. That's like I say. I mean, I now like how he did that. I like that he turned that and turned something that's theirs against them. And
yeah, it was good
because this is it has always been a load of shit.
And then you segue over to Vince McMahon on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast.
Yes,
and Austin's we talk about Punk, and Vince says, well, I don't really want to, but.
Yeah, well, I guess
he kind of did a bit, but even he kind of danced around. But he's like, you know, could you ever do business with him again? And he said, sure. He goes, but anytime you got lawyers involved, jeez, you know what I mean.
But wait a second, you say he kind of did. We just watched it literally while we were eating donairs and getting ready for the show.
Yes,
you hadn't seen it.
No,
and he was on for an hour. Mm. You say he kind of did. And he danced around it. You tell me, did he ever answer one question asked of him straight up? Did he ever answer anything? Did he actually say anything during that thing?
The network is doing great.
Yes, first lie, first sentence.
Yes, the network is doing good. And he's a good listener. and he is a common man.
He danced around everything. He
working hard as he can.
He should have been. Forget Linda, who you know is doing great as the senator there
of Connecticut. Yeah,
but he should be a politician because he managed to make it seem like he answered every question, and he actually never answered a single question directly,
and
not a single goddamn one asked of him.
Sure, turns out that we learned some things. Like, Shane McMahon is in Japan.
Yeah, actually, Shane McMahon is in China working. Essentially, he's working on their version of Netflix.
What happened to his wife? He's suddenly in China.
Different China.
Oh.
The country of China. He's working essentially putting together a Netflix for China. Is essentially what he's doing.
And it's going to, I understand, be called Malflix. Is what they're working on. After Chairman Mao. See? And there'll be some flicks.
Yeah.
But, that's what they're doing there.
He's in Japan, according to
his advance. In Japan, working on child flicks.
I know what he's working on in Japan, or in China. And Vince doesn't.
No,
but he's a good listener.
He's a great listener. Good family man, too.
Common guy.
Common guy. He's working hard as he can.
Yeah. And he hasn't lost touch.
No, that's the other thing. He's 69 years old and he hasn't lost touch.
Yeah, he's 69 years old, but he loves the business as much as ever and he's working as hard as ever.
He did outright say, the roster right now, lazy as fuck.
He essentially said that, yes.
Cesaro, not good.
Yes. Well, it's amazing. It's an amazing thing.
I watched a really, like, nonsensical, boring, doesn't really go anywhere, same old Bray Wyatt promo on the Steve Austin 3-hour pre-show they called Raw.
Yeah.
And, but he had a good night.
Yeah.
Bray had a good night. Like, yeah, he just...
Yeah, same thing. He said he enjoyed Raw, you know, and there's Austin...
See, that's exactly... He's lost touch.
I mean, this show is the drizzling shits.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't watch it, but I read about it and I heard about it, and it's the drizzling shits. It has been that way consistently for weeks. But you know, we're holding our own, and people are enjoying the product.
Yeah,
you know, that's what he said. Unbelievable.
Austin was a good host in that.
Austin could have challenged him more, there's a problem.
He did challenge him on something.
He did challenge him
enough that I thought it was good. Okay. The way he said, you know, like our competition is there. He's like, no wrestling. Wrestling competition. You know, you get your TNA, but come on, let's be serious here. Wrestling, you have no competition. And Vince is trying to do the whole bullshit of everything on television is competition, pal. And Austin was having
problem.
None of it. Austin was like, no, fuck you. Like,
yes, but when Vince said the same thing the second time, then he would just move on.
Yeah, because he knew he was just going to get this corporate
there was
spun
a point,
answer.
There was a, well, and everything was the corporate spun answer, right?
Yeah.
The spin doctor thing. And that's the thing. Why I say that he could have challenged him more. There's a lot of stuff there where you could see Austin was like, "That's bullshit," and he wanted to say it.
Oh, and the
or
title.
He was mad
about the title.
Oh yeah,
the title doesn't. The who gives a fuck about the title? He basically said, and Austin was just burning a hole through him. Like,
yeah, it does. The title is not a matter. It's all about the stories.
Yeah, it's all about the
title's not important.
Does the title help sometimes? Sure, but no.
But it's not about the title.
I mean, I agreed with Vince when he was talking about less is more in some cases when he was talking about Sting and Lesnar. But I mean. It was the other. What was the other one that that? Oh fuck! Oh yeah, the biggest. I think my biggest takeaway, my biggest like, oh fuck! I can't believe you said that. Like, I can believe you said it because he's fucking Vince McMahon. But seriously, I can't fucking believe you said that. The last person to grab the brass ring was John Cena.
What an asshole!
I'm like, you fucking idiot.
What an asshole.
He was just stupid.
It's unbelievable. Nobody's wanted to. They're not the same driven locker room that you had, Steve. Nobody's grabbed it. I mean, fuck, people have been trying to grab that ring and have it fucking Miz tried to grab the ring and for a second had it and you yanked it away.
Yeah.
Like, don't, and Cesaro fucking has tried to grab it as best he can.
Zack fucking Ryder.
Yes. Like, that's a bunch of bullshit. And you know what? The fact that they're not as aggressive as they can be in doing it is because you script everything for them.
Whoa.
And because you even said there, well, everybody's worried about pissing somebody off, is what Austin said. And Vince said, well, then don't piss anybody off,
yeah,
pal.
Just don't piss anybody off.
Well, exactly. So how can they grab the brass ring?
And then Austin goes, did I piss you off?
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's like, yeah.
Well, there you fucking go again.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, brutal.
But it's just, like, you listen to this, and let's go. What did he say about Cesaro? I just want to say.
He was saying that he doesn't have
Let me just say this first. You'll say this. I'll let you say what he said about Cesaro, because I got a bunch to say on this. But I listened to this thing, and I went, you're fucked. We are never, ever going to have a good WWE with this guy in charge again.
Again.
It will never happen. And he is old and out of touch and won't admit or doesn't know that he's old and out of touch.
Yes.
And we have no... There's abandon all hope, ye who enter here.
No, you know why Cesaro can't get a good promo? Because he's Swiss.
Yes.
Yes.
European style.
The European style.
He doesn't have it. He doesn't have the charisma.
He doesn't have it. He's a good wrestler, and he's Vince can't put his finger on it. He doesn't have all the answers. All he knows is that Cesaro is missing something, and he doesn't know what it is. And he's like, and even Austin's like, well, you know, I was really starting to dig him, get some respect for him, and then you pulled him off. You put him with Heyman. Then he went on his own, and you did all the stuff to him, and now he doesn't have any momentum and probably no confidence then. So how do you get all that back? And Vince's thing was just, I don't know what he's missing. But he's missing.
Yeah, he's missing something. It's because he's missing. So you take a guy who was doing the swing thing. The crowd was getting into it. They were starting to cheer him. Him and Swagger, who's in a way better place than Cesaro. Unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
They were starting to get some stuff that was time to turn them as a team babyface and leave them together.
Swagger does the American style.
Yeah, obviously. So. Real American yes. style. But, yeah, I mean, you had this thing that was starting to gain momentum. Even when you changed him and you put him with Heyman, if you had Heyman talk for him and had him and just wrestle and win, maybe, I don't fucking know, maybe he would have gotten over. But what you did was you had him go out and immediately his first feud was with, I can't remember who it was. Was it Sheamus or... What the fuck? It was just, it wasn't Sheamus. It was, who was it? It was like Ziggler. I don't know who it was. But it was a bunch of back and forth, and he was losing as many as he was winning.
I don't even remember he had one.
It wasn't a real feud. It was just some TV, a series of TV matches, and I can't remember. It might have even been Miz. Like,
it was that good, we don't remember who.
Yeah.
Well, no, Miz was when we went to that Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
It was the Miz against Cesaro.
Yes, it was, yeah.
So yeah. This would have been after that, obviously, like a while after that.
Yeah, but
anyway, it doesn't.
That doesn't mean they weren't wrestling each other. Well, I mean, they wrestled each other.
What? No, WWE always.
But that's the thing is you never have booked him like he's something special. So the fact that he doesn't connect to the crowd.
Yeah.
And that his thing that was most popular was the giant swing. When you put him with Heyman, you had him stop doing it because he was a heel and wasn't supposed to get cheered.
Yeah.
So now you took away the thing the crowd liked the most about him and was getting the most over. But it's his fault.
Yes. That fuck.
And then you just broke him up with Heyman with no explanation.
Yeah.
But it's all his fault.
Yeah, because he's Swiss.
So it's nothing to do with your shitty booking or your ability to use the man ability to accentuate his strengths and hide his weaknesses. No, it's that he's Swiss.
Well, the thing is
fuck you, Vince. No. You guys are useless.
The thing is, I mean, what you can put on Cesaro and how it is his fault. I mean, really, his the whole package of him, I mean, there's definitely holes in it. Right? Because he's Swiss.
Swiss holes in his package?
Like the cheese.
Not a visual podcast.
Oh, not a video podcast. Huh. But yeah, so that was Vince McMahon, essentially.
Yeah.
And on Steve Austin's podcast. It was, I mean, it was entertaining, because Steve Austin's entertaining. And Vince is...
He said he listens to the crowd.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's why they had
Daniel. He doesn't do what they say, he just listens to them.
Oh no, but that's what he said though, we listen to what they say, and it's not about what I want, it's about what the crowd wants. Which is why, of course, they had Daniel Bryan set to schedule against Sheamus last year at WrestleMania.
No, that's not why, that one was undeniable, and they had to listen to it, and they had no choice. But
eventually,
they like to, you know. Vince even said it. People rewrite history. I'm like, yes, but none more than you.
Nobody more than you.
Nobody.
Even CM Punk. Remember when CM Punk debuts on debuts on ECW and immediately is over with the crowd. They love him right away.
Yes.
Then they put him in. So what do? He is the most over guy in ECW.
Yes.
So at the Elimination Chamber, where they're going to have Bobby Lashley win, Bobby Lashley, who has not had as good a career as Punk, is not as charismatic as Punk, not as good a talker as Punk, not as good a wrestler as Punk.
But he's on steroids.
But he's their pick. And so they had him go over and Punk get eliminated first because they're listening to the audience, right?
Yeah.
It's never been that way.
Well, let's be fair.
Don't fucking lie or to well, yourself, Vince, and don't anybody believe it. Right from the beginning, this is where a guy like Punk who's had to fight uphill, even though against guys he was better than because he wasn't their type of pick.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? This is a perfect... And that has not changed. Why would anybody ever pick, in any sense or any logic, a company that fired Daniel Bryan twice, that almost fired Punk before he got up to the main roster,
yeah,
that almost fired John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
This company has any clue whatsoever about listening to the audience or understanding them? No. Because Bobby Lashley and Dave Batista are the guys. You know, Batista against Orton, that's what the crowd wants.
Batista, not a very good wrestler and not very good actor either.
According to Rollins.
To Seth Rollins there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but those were the podcasts. I got some. I was down in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I didn't tell you this, but I'd run into a music guy down there, and he's done music.
For really,
some of the WWE
music guys done music.
Guys.
Yeah,
for one, it's WWE music.
Oh, that's
WWE, like recent WWE music.
That's weird that this music guy did music.
I know, right? For WWE though.
Yeah.
So. He let me listen to some new, that are coming, entrance songs that they're debuting. And the first one didn't make much sense to me, but it does now. Because Eric Rowan is, did you hear what they're calling him now?
Big Red?
Yeah. So, because he was playing this to me, it was last week before Raw, and I'm going like, this makes no sense, but it does now, right? So, Eric, and I remember this, so I was humming along enough, so I know the music.
This
right?
Better have a good payoff, because you've been doing this for like 7 minutes.
You want to hear Eric Rowan's new music?
Yeah, this better have a good payoff.
Okay, ready? So make it last a little longer, and a kiss a little longer, give your breath long-lasting freshness with Big Red. That's his new theme music.
Makes sense if he kisses Renee Young. There's more. Let's hear. Yeah.
There's more. Yeah. Because he also played me the new Slater Gator song.
Uh-huh.
Right? This is for Slater and Gator. Mm-hmm. This is good. This one is kind of similar to when like DDP and Raven used that music to me, but it's so it goes like this. Yeah. Ready? Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's all about that rape. About that rape and no selling. It's all about that rape. About that rape, no selling. I'm all about that rape. About that rape, no selling. I'm all about that rape. About that rape.
So Heath Slater has a warrant out for his arrest.
I'm bringing raping back
for his 2011 incident, where the woman says that he was he put a chokehold on her and tried to drag her up to his, after offering her to go to his room.
Yeah.
That he put a choke, this security guard that worked at this hotel, he said that claimed at the time that he put a chokehold on her and tried to bring her up into her room.
But I'm just trying to figure out, like, would a wrestler ever do that in Atlanta?
Yeah, well, the point is that she claims that he tried to do that, right? And while, because he wanted her to go to her room and she refused.
What?
What are you doing?
What?
I don't think this is funny, man.
Anyway, that was my thing. You want to know?
But anyways, I'm just going to say. All right, but wait. So she claims this. That same night, apparently he was with his girlfriend and got engaged to her that night, according to people in the WWE. So, really? But if it's far enough away that 3 years later it's going to court, it's going to be very interesting. And maybe I can't verify if there's anything true or not with
in
it.
In her esting?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But so anyways.
Anyway.
Feel free to now make a Bill Cosby Heath Slater joke.
Yes, I would like to talk to you about some of the things on the roster.
Yeah.
But, you want to know, oh, this is the other thing that we talked about. It's not wrestling related, but your favorite holiday of the year is coming. Christmas.
I hate Christmas.
What? You hate Christmas?
Yeah.
See, I don't know what our schedule is going to be like coming up the next couple weeks because it is, in fact, the holiday season. So, and you don't know about this either. Here on We Talk Wrestling, I got you a Christmas present.
Well, you don't give it to me now. It's not Christmas time.
No, no. Well, we're doing this.
It's not Christmas. Wait until it's closer to Christmas. Oh, for fuck's sakes.
Here. There you go.
What the hell am I got here?
This is Moe's Christmas present.
This is from Vegas? Oh, that's wicked! Oh, that's wicked. I was just thinking to myself how I'd love one of these. And if they were only available, like, around, like, oh, that's awesome. It's a Bullet Club shirt. And it's big, too.
Yeah, extra large.
Oh, that's fantastic, man.
I know. As soon as I saw these, I was like,
I'm going to be wearing that at WrestleMania weekend.
Oh, yeah. I'll
probably be wearing that at WrestleMania.
You're probably wearing that until WrestleMania.
Probably. It's such a cool shirt.
I know, right?
Actually, man, I appreciate the shit out of that.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what I got you?
Nothing.
Same thing as last year.
Oh, excellent. Food. But there's a store called The Fight Store.
Oh, yeah?
That's where I got JR's barbecue sauce.
Nice.
And the Chipotle ketchup. You want to see what else I got?
Sure. Because it's a video podcast.
This is what I got me.
Holy fuck, you got yourself like a pile of shit.
This is also the answer to the trivia question. What do $300 worth of t-shirts look like? Alright, so I also, in fact, have a Bullet Club.
As you should.
Mine's a medium. This is the producer.
Okay.
Because she's going to WrestleMania with us.
Yes.
Now has a Hulk Hogan t-shirt she picked out.
Nice, I like it.
And a Macho Man Randy Savage t-shirt she's picked out.
I've ordered that Blu-ray from Amazon. She'll be here soon.
So she wanted to have these so she doesn't look out of place.
You haven't got the Blu-ray yet yourself, right?
Not yet.
Yeah, so it'll be soon.
So here's my JR Slobberknocker t-shirt.
That's awesome. Right. I love that. That's cool.
So Slobberknocker JR. Here is a British Bulldog t-shirt.
Holy shit, they had that?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
I know. This is a great store.
I wish you had been wearing that at the night when we were at Foley's.
I know.
Because then his wife would have seen it.
That's true. Here's a New Japan Pro Wrestling t-shirt.
Oh, you should have gotten me that, not you. But it's great, because I ordered the New Japan World.
Really?
Network. That's the New Japan's network.
I understand Shane McMahon is in charge of it.
No.
Oh.
Have you ordered it?
No. No. Is it in Japanese?
It is. It's the WWE Network, but for New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's great. That is awesome.
A Big Boss Man t-shirt.
It looks all retro as hell.
I know, and you know what? The producer actually wanted this.
Well, because it's great.
She wanted to get this shirt, and I said, no, I'm getting this shirt.
That's awesome.
She said, but I really want it. I said, name me one of his matches. I get the t-shirt. Nice. Name me a famous tag team he was in. Arriba!
Oh, this time is personal.
Yes, that's Tito awesome. Santana, Intercontinental Championship. The only reason I have this shirt is not only because it's Chico, but the this time it's personal Tito Santana Intercontinental Championship tournament or t-shirt. Tito Santana lost the Intercontinental Championship in the first ever wrestling event that I went to in 1984.
Really? Was that to
Greg the Hammer Valentine in the London Gardens?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So then and that was his.
That would have hooked me too.
That was like his comeback. I know, right? And I'm like, let's go to a show because I want to see another title change.
Have you seen another one live since?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Well, yeah.
Yeah, man, that hardcore title change that I saw at the house show. Fuck, I'll never forget what. never forget when
what is the house show coming here in February? February, when they announced the match?
No, just that Roman Reigns, Jericho is going to be on it.
Okay,
but
interesting.
But
February.
In February 1st, yeah. And January 31st in Edmonton.
Okay. So. Interesting. Interesting. So yeah, New Japan Pro Wrestling has launched a network, and and of course you're going to be able to get
New Japan Network.
Archive shows, some documentaries, and Archive shows, archive matches, some documentaries, and some current events. All the big events will be there, and the big pay per views, and all the big events that they have. And
their show, Regin's House.
Did you have that written down as a note?
No. Okay. I just thought of it now.
They have a lot of good... Like, what are the matches you want to watch on there?
There's a Kensuke Nakamura against Fujoro Ukamishi.
Yeah.
Is Benoit on it?
I think he probably is.
Killer. You know, he's a member of the Bullet Club, isn't he?
No.
No?
Oh. You know, you probably want to watch... Maybe there's some guys who perform some of the Japanese wrestlers.
Well, what about... yeah, I want to see... is Mr. Fuji on it?
I don't think so.
What about Yokozuna? Who's Yokozuna? Has he got some Yokozuna matches?
No. No. You said that you had another... Yeah, you know, there was the team name. We were doing team names last week, and you said that you had a team name. I think it was, who was it? Paige and Yokozuna?
Yeah. Japage Knees. Managed by Kelly Kelly.
What? Kelly Kelly?
Knees.
Hey.
Is Tajiri on this new
Japan? No, now? I don't think so. Maybe. I am.
I hear they have a lot of cruiserweight action. What about, what's his name? That big Japanese star. Kurosawa. Is he on it?
Anyways, I watched the Dynamite Kid versus Tiger Mask.
Oh, I heard it.
Great shows today. Actually, I did watch some wrestling. I missed work, like I say. Fever, headache. Missed work today.
More cowbell.
So, of course, I watched some wrestling.
Yes.
And I was thinking maybe you want to play 20 questions and try and guess what I watched.
Okay. Should I start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Was it on the WWE Network?
No.
Oh. Was it on the New Japan Network?
No.
Was it WrestleMania?
No.
Was it WrestleMania 2?
No.
Was it Regin's House?
No!
Was it WrestleMania 3?
No!
Fine. Was it... Oh! WrestleMania 4?
Oh, Jesus. Do you know how to play 20 questions?
Yeah.
No!
Yeah.
No, it wasn't WrestleMania 4!
Oh. Oh. Yeah, what am I thinking? WrestleMania 5!
Fine. Of course not.
Okay. What do you mean, of course not? The Mega Powers exploded. Why wouldn't you watch that? You took good for the Mega Powers exploding?
I would just watch that match. I wouldn't watch the whole event.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Okay. Well, then, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what your tastes in wrestling are. I'm trying to align it with, WrestleMania 6. Was WrestleMania 6?
Oh, Jesus. How many questions you got left yet? No, it's not.
Well, I'm up to WrestleMania 6, so I'm going to say I have, 13 more. Was WrestleMania 7?
No, Brian Knobs wasn't at my house.
Oh.
No. Fuck, it was Crockett Cup 86.
Didn't I guess that? No. I'm pretty sure that was my fourth guess. The listeners can go back and check this and verify it. At We Talk Wrestling on Twitter, if you can verify. In fact, that yes, Crockett Cup 86 was my... It might have been my fourth or... fifth guess, but I guess that's the one that had Yokozuna,
Giant Baba, and Tiger Mask. yes. We're in the tournament.
Yes. Baba Mask.
If you're not familiar with the Crockett Cup, it was run by the Crocketts, and
you won a cup.
Yeah, not the brightest branch in the tree.
No,
but
oh yeah,
Vince said that in his podcast with Austin.
Yeah,
but it was, the concept was, it was just a bunch of teams from all the territories and from different countries in a 2-night tournament with $1 million prize. Yeah. I think it might have been $500,000 prize the first year and like $1 million the next 2 years. Yeah. They had it in 86, 87, and 88. It was tag team tournaments.
Yeah.
And then they would have a world title match at the top. So I think the first 3 years of the world title match, I believe, was...
I believe DiBiase won it 3 years in a row.
No.
Well, because it was for $1 million. So I just assumed. That's how we...
Became. Well, the reason I went and watched it, I chose to watch it. I had to find it. It's on Daily Motion. Had to figure out where it was. I wanted to watch it because it had a 5-star match between the Fantastics, according to Dave Meltzer. This is like the third 5-star match he ever gave out. The first one, I believe, was the Dynamite Kid versus Tiger Mask match.
Right.
I think that's the first ever 5-star match he gave out.
On New Japan Net.
In like 1983. Yeah, in New Japan. Which is, it's less than the WWE Network. It's great. They're going to have all the pay-per-views, including the Tokyo Dome show.
And JR. Though
if you want the American feed with JR, I'm sure we'll order it that way. But you had...
I'd order
it. It had a 5-star match. Now, think of the teams in that era.
Okay, the Fantastics, you said?
Yeah, and think of who they might have had a 5-star match with.
I'm going to go with the Armstrong brothers.
No.
The Rock and Rolls?
Good guess. No.
Midnights?
Really good guess. No. Okay, 5-star match.
What is it? The Young Pistols? No, you said 86.
86, yeah.
Who the fuck was around in 86?
Their first round match was them versus the Fabulous Ones. They were actually a team that was basically a ripoff of the Fabulous Ones. So, and they went over on them. The Fabulous Ones were first. The Fabulous Ones were the Rock and Rolls and all these teams, the PYTs with Coco.
Pretty Young
and,
Thing, yeah.
Yeah, and all these guys were pretty much, the Rockers, Midnight Rockers, all these guys were pretty much a ripoff of the first team like this, with this pretty boy image thing with Steve Kern and Stan Lane as the Fabulous Ones.
Right. And said their first opponents were who?
In the first round, the Fantastics took on
Fantastics the Fantastics and the Fabulous Ones.
That was the first round. That wasn't the 5-star match. This was the third round.
And it was
the Fantastics who had gone over on the other team, who actually played the heel that night.
Against the Road Warriors?
No, the Road Warriors won the whole thing. A 5-star match was the Fantastics versus the Kiwi Sheepherders.
Ah, the Bushwhackers.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Bushwhackers were given a 5-star match against the Fantastics. And so I was curious as hell. Now, going back and watching this is interesting because it's just...
Well, that makes sense. I mean, they had another 5-star match against the Rougeau brothers, didn't they?
No.
No, they didn't.
No, they did not. And it's, and I'm watching this. And
whoa, yay.
You know them as the Bushwhackers. They were known as the Sheepherders or the Kiwis.
Yeah.
And they were this hardcore team.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hardcore. And they knew how to get incredible heel heat. They knew how to really piss off the crowd. They would work the crowd.
New Zealand.
Yeah. And there was a lot of USA chants against them as well.
Of course there would be.
Yeah.
From New Zealand. You're not from
this match corner. Featured, like, this is 1986. This match featured double blood from Tommy Rogers and
Luke Miller?
Luke, no, it wasn't Luke, it was the other one.
Butch?
Yeah, Luke Miller. Double Blood, it had kendo shots and all that type of stuff. Like, all the stuff that you would see in ECW that made them famous was in this match.
Yeah.
Which is probably what made it stand out at the time. Because the previous match, which was I actually enjoyed more, was Ivan and Nikita Koloff versus Steve Williams and
Gordy?
No. Fuck. Terry Taylor.
Terry Taylor, yeah.
They were supposed to face Dino Bravo and Rick Martel, but Bravo was in the hospital.
Really? Mm-hmm. Why?
They said appendicitis.
Huh.
What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Cocaine.
Could be. Wow. That's an interesting team. Martel and Bravo is a team like there?
Yeah.
That's in 86 in NWA. It's really interesting.
Quebec.
Yeah.
Well, because it wouldn't be much longer than... until the Can-Am Connection.
Yeah.
because that would have happened in like 86.
Yeah, that's the thing. When did Terry Taylor enter WWE?
Not till
87, 88.
It was 88.
88. And Coco Ware was also in this, and that's what he was called. He was called Coco Ware with a C, no B. Obviously no bird, but he did have a parrot. Like, he did have birds on his tights, two parrots. I guess he was doing that Birdman gimmick for about 3-4 months before entering the WWE. So I'm not sure if they assigned it to him, but he was already doing that gimmick. Huh. He had left the PYTs, where he, you know, and as working as a solo guy and doing this gimmick where he was coming to the ring to the bird, but I can't remember the name of the band.
Oh, bird.
No, different. Bird is sword. No, a different song. Oh. A different song called The Bird. I can't remember. But anyways, he coming and doing this, and he had the parrots on there, and I thought, okay, so everything but the bird, except for the fact that he's called Coco Ware, slightly different look. But when did he enter WWE? Late 86? Early 87? Yeah,
probably late 86.
So he's just a couple months away here.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just started this gimmick. I'm not sure if they had even assigned it to
him. It's a Hall of Fame gimmick.
Apparently. Yeah, it's crazy. It's two nights worth of wrestling, and they've clipped it together into one tape that's about 3 hours.
Okay.
So what's crazy about this is there's no announcing.
Really?
No announcing at all. So you can really hear the guys talking in the ring, but you never hear them calling spots. You just hear them selling the match.
Right.
Saying things like, referee got my hair or whatever, but and the crowd going crazy. No. Anyways, five-star match.
You know what? That's actually coincidentally Tony Schiavone's best work.
Probably. You know who was the ring announcer, though?
Howard Finkel?
Bruce Pitchard.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. That's weird.
Yeah.
Because it'd be like, this next team, I love them.
Nope. He wasn't doing that. Oh. It's crazy, though. It's crazy. Anyway, it's fun.
I've seen some Bruce Pritchard down Roberts? In...
You're going to have to get Jake Roberts.
In Texas.
You going to say about Jake Roberts?
He ruined my weaving. No, but Jake Roberts, he brought the snake that out every week.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
He brought the snake out every week.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't special.
Yes, that's right. But he kept doing it.
He kept doing it, and he's in the Hall of Fame. So
when you look at the Bushwhackers and how great they were.
That did is, we talk about Vince and Stone Cold.
Vince was never a genius. You know that? Vince, he turned the Bushwhackers into, the Sheep Herders into the Bushwhackers.
Vince.
From a great team that got great heel heat to this team that nobody remembers.
Vince said Randy Savage is going in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
He said he didn't know about this year, so because he doesn't want to spoil it.
But it's this year.
Announced, but it's this year.
Yeah.
So. And he also said Sting would be at WrestleMania, which we knew.
Yeah.
But,
But
they've confirmed both things.
We're coming up, tonight is the last episode. We have missed it, but it'll be on WWE Network. It's the last night, the go-home show, I believe, for the NXT tournament.
Yes, that's true.
I watched the latest three episodes of NXT. Mm. They were tremendous.
I have only seen so far... I think, was it Finn Balor and Tyson Kidd I saw was the last one?
Yeah, that was good.
The producer is going to be away Saturday most of the afternoon. So that's what I'll be doing.
Catch up on some... Yeah. It has been. It's been really... It's been... The last few episodes have been really good.
So what are the... what are the matchups?
You have a lot of great matchups.
No, I mean for this special.
Yeah, I know. I was about to.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about all the matches I'm about to see on Saturday as I catch up.
No.
No. Okay, well, spit it out then. What's holding you up here? Come on.
So, Sami Zayn, who will leave WWE forever. Right. NXT. If he does not beat. Oh, isn't that what we're talking about?
No, he'll leave NXT forever.
He'll leave WWE, I believe, is the state. Is
no,
the...
no, no.
Are you sure?
You know what? I know.
I think they said WWE, but maybe it is NXT. But either way, against Adrian Neville for the title.
Right.
Being really good. Again, you have... I don't know if they're doing it, but they had... for instance, they have... what's his name? The big guy. Baron Corbin. The crowd is now chanting. Like, counting.
Yeah.
When he's doing his matches, they're counting along to see how many seconds before he gets the pin.
Sweet.
So they'll count, and then at like the end, like he gets a pin over a guy in 22 seconds, they're counting, 1, 2, 3, gets the pin, then you hear the crowd going, 22, 22, 22. So then Bull Dempsey comes walking out, and they just look at each other on the way to the ring, just shoots them a look, and they shoot each other a look real quick.
Nice.
But it's just, it lays the groundwork.
Yes.
He comes to the ring, the crowd starts counting, He goes past 22, he wins in like 37 seconds or something, but the crowd is, as soon as he gets past 22, they hear this booze and Corbin's better, pop, pop. And it's like, that's the type of thing that,
yeah,
it's like, believe it or not, that's way better than Raw.
Oh, yeah.
like, it doesn't sound like much, but no, it does. Is.
It though. Sounds like a lot better than Raw.
It is. It's just, the same thing, Marcus Louis.
That was great when he turned on the French Stallion there.
When he turned on the French Stallion, I was going to talk about when he wrestles Tyler Breeze, calling him an uggo and all this stuff, and Breeze pins him really quickly, and then he just walks out of the ring. He leaves NXT and just walks out of the building, still in his gimmick and stuff like that, like a guy in a daze.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is great. You know what this is? Characterization.
Yes.
And character development.
Development.
And all the stuff that you don't get, like, within this 1 hour show. Again, they're consistently doing everything that WWE is not doing, and it's in their developmental.
It's like when you're talking about Homo Raleigh there, and how he's evolving, right? And from staying hyped or whatever. And
Mojo.
That's what I said.
But he is evolving. It's character development.
And it's not like it's necessarily different. It's just not stupid annoying.
No, exactly. Right?
It's just but it's tweaked.
It's tweaked. All it is. And so you have a lot of, you know, obviously you have the Finn Balor and Hideo Itami,
Hideki Arabu
against the Ascension. Finn Balor, I think is actually his name, Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Not Balor.
Finn Balor.
I think it's Balor. Yeah. So I think they'll change that because Balor just sounds better and looks easier to say. But Finn Balor
is going to be wrapped to the ring by Oscar. We got Stars Galore. We got Finn Balor.
He is the single most ready WWE performer without having to go through the developmental guy that I've ever seen. Like his entrance is like a star. He wrestles like a star. He puts a promo.
He can
like
talk
a star.
Like a star. Yeah.
Like he's already better than 99%. Not like a guy like Sami Zayn was a better wrestler, but I could see how they wanted to develop him in his style. But Finn Balor is like no, like he is.
Yeah, shoot him up there now.
Shoot him up immediately. He's been there for a month and he stands out. He's the best guy I've ever seen.
I say that because he needs to get bigger, right? Shoot him up.
That guy looks like he looks pretty jacked, actually, I gotta say.
But I don't know what you do with... there's so many possibilities. Like, there's so much... I mean, Austin and McMahon were talking about how the roster needs depth.
It does.
And like, here you are, you got a bunch, but then...
But you feel like you have to keep him down there for 2-3 years. Makes no sense.
Well, it's not even that long, necessarily, but you gotta... Like, how do you find roles for them? I mean, it's like, here you got like, the tag team division being hot and heavy in the World Wrestling Federation.
No, it's not.
Well, you got the New Day, right?
Oh, yeah, good. You don't fuck that up, guys. Good, good.
No, but Xavier Woods is smart.
They're just missing something. Xavier
is smarter.
Yeah.
Okay. Langston is...
Stronger.
Stronger. Kofi can fly higher, right? But together... They can job faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they beat up Golden Stardust there with that finisher.
Like, 93 seconds.
And I thought that was cool. Mm-hmm. Like that. It's a tandem finish. That's what they were talking about, the Freebird rule with these guys and on the way to the ring, right? I didn't like their entrance as much as I thought I was going to. That the music was going to be better and stuff. But then it's like, okay, well, here we go, right? We get these guys going so then they can fight Miz and Mizdow for, you know, the thing. And then they lose.
Yeah, but they're going to feud with the Dusts. No, but they beat them in like 93 seconds.
They lose to fucking
Cesaro,
and Kid, who have never teamed before.
No.
What?
It doesn't even make any sense. Couldn't it even have just been Kid and Gabriel if you're going to do this?
Well, that's what I was thinking, too. I'm like, where's Gabriel?
Was Slater Gator even in that thing?
No, no. The bunny and the fucking...
And were the bullfighters in there?
No.
Hot and heavy.
Hot and motherfucking heavy.
Yeah.
But don't worry, they're going to have a stairs match... Now at the TLC pay-per-view between Big Red. So kiss a little longer, say goodbye a little longer, give your breath long-lasting freshness. with Big Red.
Remember when Undertaker was called Booger Red?
Yes.
As a nickname?
Yeah.
And his other nickname was Big Evil?
Big Evil.
So it seemed he was being, his two nicknames of that era were Big Evil and Booger Red.
Yeah.
Big Red.
You know.
Or Booger Evil. Well, I think I could see.
No.
You don't think?
No.
Booger Evil?
It wasn't Big Evil. It was the whole nickname for Undertaker was Big Evil Langston. Langston.
Big Evil
Langston. But I liked also, too, how Vince talked about how giving The Undertaker is.
Yeah.
And how, you know, no one wants to give back the business more than The Undertaker. And Vince is like, and Austin's like, bullshit, it was your call. And Vince is like, yeah, it was my call. Of course it was my call, pal.
It was awesome.
It was hilarious.
Yeah. No, yeah. So NXT next week will be great. Oh,
the best sign on Raw, by the way, was, can you check my staph infection?
That's awesome.
It was like right in the, I don't know if it was awesome. The front row, but it got a lot of airtime.
And then Final Battle is this weekend as well, mm-hmm. from ROH, which yes. has also had some great wrestling, of course, leading into this event.
Adam Cole and
Jay Briscoe, which will be great. I'm really looking forward to Michael Elgin versus Tommaso Ciampa. You know, yeah. you got the Time Splitters mm-hmm. from New Japan.
Yeah,
Alex Shelley and Ikeda.
Red Dragon.
Yeah, he has Red Dragon. Ishida? Yeah, something like that. I can't remember his name.
Atami.
Ishida. Yokozuna, I think it is.
I think so. Mr. Fuji. Yeah.
But, yeah, the Time Splitters versus Red Dragon would be great. Jay Lethal versus Matt Sydal would be yeah. tremendous. Like, you got a bunch of, like, you got a really good, you know, card and a lot of, between NXT and ROH, and I think it's probably $20 for the pay-per-view,
mm-hmm.
a lot of good alternatives, while WWE's product continues to be the drizzling shits. And because Vince McMahon will never admit that... Austin asked him about it being 3 hours.
Yes.
He said that sometimes that opening segment takes too long to hook the crowd.
Yes.
And Vince said, well, sometimes it does. But you have to make the people care about the characters. Otherwise, who cares? I'm like, yeah, you have to. But not the way you're doing it with an opening 25-minute talking segment. That doesn't make anybody care about the characters.
Let's back the motherfucking truck up with that. A, you're doing a 25-minute talking segment. B, the people in the 25-minute talking segment are either Hunter, Rollins, or fucking Cena.
Yeah.
We know all these people.
Yeah.
So who the fuck are you going to... Who are you hooking with that? Who? You got to get to know the characters. Really? I don't know fucking Hunter. I don't know fucking John Cena at this point.
Well, you don't know Harley.
I know Harley. Well, no. I mean, you would never have Harley on that... on a segment that long, because then he knows that the show won't move.
That's right.
But I mean, you're just retarded.
No, it's stupid. And but again, and you open every show with a 20-minute talking segment.
Yeah.
So every show is the same boring pattern.
Well, and not next week though, because
the Slammies.
Next week, it's the Slammies.
That's true. With Seth Green hosting.
Seth fucking Green.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Better than the anonymous Raw GM, which even they realized
that was not good. Oh, did they ever. They fucking immediately just closed the fucking thing. And
no mention of Hornswoggle, nothing.
It was Cyber Monday, so you could pick one match, one mystery partner for AJ Lee.
Yeah.
It was like, wow.
I noticed they didn't draw out AJ. She won her match.
Noelle Foley made her debut, though.
That's true. It's got to. I wonder how uncomfortable television was for AJ Monday. I just wonder backstage.
I don't know. I don't know if she gives a shit.
I don't care if you give a shit or not. I'm not saying. Obviously, they didn't job her out, and they're not going to.
Right.
To me, the idea though that isn't uncomfortable. And that she isn't getting a lot of looks, and I don't know who her friends is or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, just, or, you know, you have to go talk to people about your match. And like, one of the things that CM Punk mentions is he talks about how you can't piss off the writers because then they won't write for you.
Yes.
You know? So I just can't imagine all it wasn't really... Yeah, I can't imagine. And Austin brings that
up,
too.
Austin said, why is it so damn complicated, is what he said.
Yeah.
He said, I go backstage now. People are walking around with pieces of paper in their hand.
On eggshells.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was separate from the eggshell part.
But it's true, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he talks about why does it have to be, it used to be just you and Pat. And Vince said, well, you know, you have to, what was it
no.
he said?
He said, it used to be you and Pat. And then Vince started talking about pushing people into the pool.
And how he likes to pull ribs.
I pushed Nick Buckley into the pool. I pushed Dusty into the pool.
That's a great example of everything I said. Take the question, and he deflected it into telling a story, trying to come off as charming, and never actually answered it. Okay. But he did say something along the lines of, well, you know, we're a publicly traded company now. Yes. I mean, things have to evolve, and it takes a lot of people to put on this product. I'm like, no. Because no. they used to, with three people, put on 4 hours of television, 5 hours of television. Almost the same amount.
But they were a private company then?
Yeah. So, you know what? As soon as you became a publicly traded company, you needed to hire 26 writers.
Yeah, well.
What did one have to do with the other?
I know, it was dumb.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
And it's exactly why they're never going to get better.
You know who...
Because 26 writers doesn't help the product, and because they're not going to change it, and they have a bunch of excuses for it. You know, and besides, you all like the product. He said that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we like it.
Pal. It's connecting.
You know who needed to host this show?
No, it's not.
Bob Costas. And
the opening segment when the... Oh, yeah. Fuck, no kidding. The opening segment with... go watch that on YouTube. Bob Costas versus Vince McMahon.
Yes.
Because he was awesome. Vince gets pissed off, wants to hit him. He really holds him out to the fire. It's great.
Yeah.
Costas is not intimidated at all.
No.
He says the network is doing great. He talks about how subscriptions are great, how they're going to grow it, and it'll meet his expectations. And then said they have a 97%
satisfaction rate.
Fuck off, Vince.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have a 97% satisfaction rate, then why are you losing as many people as you're gaining?
Exactly.
Because the people staying are the ones you're pulling. And those people aren't losing, and 97% is bullshit anyways.
You could ask me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you great things.
Well, no, you can ask me, and I'll say I'm sticking around because there's enough, but could there be a lot of stuff done better?
But are you satisfied?
Mildly. Mild satisfaction. If it was a mild satisfaction, sure. If it's a highly satisfied, no.
No, but somewhat. There's usually the neutral, somewhat satisfied, very satisfied.
It's not 97% so if you're losing 200,000 people
way to get. I'm just saying bullshit. That they pulled us. Is basically who they did, right?
Well, that's who they want to pull.
Yeah, exactly.
These stats are again. Well, but you know,
I mean, let's be honest. Patterson wants to pull everybody.
That's true. But and Kelly Kelly's being pulled by everybody. Sure. But let's face it. This is the same company. The people that did this survey about 97%. It's probably the same people that did the survey about how many people are WWE fans.
Yeah.
And that's what, 60 million?
650 million, I think.
Oh. In just the U.S.?
Just in the U.S., yeah.
In 60 million homes.
Yeah. There are 47 people, WWE fans, in every home in America.
That Bullet Club shirt rules.
No doubt.
As
soon as I saw it, I was like...
No hope. There's no hope. Anyways, Final Battle will be great. There's alternatives this weekend.
What else is on the Final Battle?
I think I mentioned most of them, didn't I?
I don't know.
I can't remember who the Kingdom has taken on. I know Adam Page has taken on Roderick Strong.
Right.
Adam Page, not the same as Adam Cole.
What? Shane Page? He's the young boy.
He's the young boy, yeah.
Of
the decade.
Was the decade still around?
Well, yeah, because BJ Whitner, Bulljob Whitner, and Jimmy Jacobs is still there. Yeah, with Adam Page. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure who ACH has taken on or what they're doing with
Cedric
that.
Alexander?
I don't know if...
They're in a team against... Who are Kazarian and Daniels facing?
Mark... I think there was some sort of four-way or something like that. Yeah. I think it's like Moose and Mark Briscoe and a couple other guys. And maybe a...
Is AJ on the show?
Fuck it. Let's look it up.
Okay.
We have the technology.
When?
I don't know if... What?
We got technology.
2014 final battle.
Battle?
ROH.
Oh, that one.
Because otherwise, you know what was auto-populated was Godzilla.
Oh, it's Godzilla. Is Godzilla on the New Japan Network?
Of course. Here we go. Okay, here it is. This is great. So it's the Young Bucks and ACH versus Daniels, Kazarian, and Cedric Alexander.
There you go.
That will be just wicked.
Yeah.
Roderick Strong versus Adam Page.
Yeah, said that.
Artie Evans versus Moose.
Okay. Weren't they a tag team?
They were. I didn't see how they split up.
The Mega Moose is exploded.
I do know I'm going to order the Bachelor Party. They did a video on demand Bachelor Party for Michael Bennett.
Oh, yes.
I'm gonna order that, too. Red Dragon versus Alex Shelley and Kushida.
Kushida, yes.
Michael Elgin versus Rosario or Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah.
Jay Lethal versus Matt Sydal. And Jay Briscoe versus Adam Cole. So there is some guys like Bennett that I'm not seeing on here.
So that's the Kingdom, right? Is Bennett?
Yeah, and Matt. Yeah, Bennett, Mike, and Matt Taven.
Taven, Bennett.
And Adam Cole.
Cole, right. So maybe they'll just get.
So yeah, they're not a they're romantic Taven? Touch. I'm not seeing Hansen. So there's a few guys that aren't there. I thought there was more, but either way, that's 1, 2, 3.
Hmm. Well, who's gonna sing Mbop then?
There's 7 matches there.
Well, it's a regular pay per view, right?
Yeah, it's a regular pay per
view. Yeah, so they can't go 17 hours like normal. Yeah, exactly. So that makes sense. That makes when there's 7 yeah. matches. Yeah,
but it'd be great. And those top matches are really terrific. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see a lot of great wrestling action. I'm really looking forward to that event.
Yes. I'm
really looking forward to watching some of this New Japan Network. New Japan World, as it's called. NJPW. Right. Thank you. World. And I recommend people try that out because it's cheaper in WWE Network. Keep watching the WWE Network. Watch NXT. Watch this coming up.
Yeah, I can't wait for that NXT takeover.
Is going to be great. It's seriously going to be... The action is going to be tremendous.
Yeah.
And fucking Skip Raw.
It's going to be hot and heavy. No, it's
Skip Raw.
It's the Slammies.
Which does no longer have Brock Lesnar.
No. No more Lesnar. So, that makes the Slammies pretty much bullshit. Really, I mean, like, what's the squared circle shocker?
Well, you still give it to him. It's just, you just have Heyman accept it and say, yeah. He'll be here next week.
Next week, yeah.
My client, Brock Langston.
Yes.
Langston.
I loved that Heyman, basically coming out and saying how stupid people were.
Yeah.
For Cena or whatever it was.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a dick.
Cena is a dick.
Yeah.
And Mo is fat.
So anyways, I don't know. How long have we gone now?
I don't know.
Bottom left hand or something like that?
Like an hour and 12 minutes.
Okay, because I had other stuff to bring up, but it's like late. And, we got a question from Battle Farts. An email question.
Should we cut our losses before my computer freezes? Well, yes. Let's listen about Battle Farts.
Battle Farts is...
Is it Battle Farts Galactica?
No, it's just called himself Battle Farts.
Huh.
Sent us a question.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, and now I can't remember what it is.
Oh, okay. So we're at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. WeTalkWrestling.com.
I can open up our email and check it out if you want.
You mean Addie, ADDIE, at WeTalkWrestling.com?
Yeah.
Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. Mm-hmm. iTunes, Stitcher, the TuneIn radio app. RDTV.
Facebook, did you mention that?
RDO? Is that what it's called?
Fuck off. No, we're not on there yet.
Why?
We're not doing podcasts yet.
Those fucks. Hope it goes out of business.
No, don't say that.
What about Show Me?
We're not on that, no.
No?
Oh. No. I don't believe we'll ever be on that.
What about Show Miz?
Ah, sure is. Sure yeah. is.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week.
The Miz and Jey Uso.
That's the only good thing on Raw. Shit out of him. That was great.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
The highlight of Raw.
Yeah.
Along with the New Day's finisher.
Do you want me to look up Battlefart's question?
No.
Okay.
In the meantime.
Next week, I promise Battle Farts, if you're still listening, if you're not too pissed at us, we will answer your question.
Did you say his Battle Farts or Butthole Farts?
His name is Battle Farts.
Huh.
I don't know why he chose that, but then again, we get questions from people called Davey the Bannibal.
That's true.
So,
and Steven.
The weirdest of them all.
Yeah.
I just call him AJ.
AJ, yes. Well, that's going to do it, though. So for the meantime, or no, wait, in the meantime.
We're OUT.
Time.
We're OUT.
That's it. Another edition. We Talk Wrestling. Good evening, folks.
Are we off air?
Of course.
So I think... I'm going to look it up. I think you'll enjoy Battle Fart's question. I think it's something to do with strongest wrestlers or something like that. I can't remember. But do you want to answer it? We could edit it back in if you want to do it now.
Well, fuck that guy.